Do not wait for prayer lines or even that which is of itself scriptural in the laying on of hands. Those things work as I will and as you deliberately do those things. But understand this, that in this atmosphere of worship, all sickness, disease, infirmities, and pain is subject to your praise and your worship in me, says the Spirit of grace. Do not wait for what you would think would be a special call. But as you are watching this service, or you're sitting in this service, give yourself over to that place of believing me that all things are possible. Allow your expectation to come to another place, and for me to frame your world in a place of understanding that where you're going and where I'm taking my church, that things happen. You'd call it inadvertently. You'd call it just seemingly on accident or sovereignly. But I say you're deliberately bringing about my presence in a place where I can come all the time on purpose and bring forth healing and virtue to your body, says the Spirit of grace. So those of you who are reaching out tonight, watching, standing or sitting in this place, now is the time. Receive of my Spirit, says the Lord. Even that which is, and I heard him say this, even that which is of a natural healing process, or even that which is being aided with medication, which is fine, he wants to speed it up. He wants to put it into overdrive. He wants you to know that he'll come alongside of medicine. He'll come alongside of natural healing because he wants you. He wants you to be in the best place possible to go into revival in this outpouring. So Father, right now, we speak life. We release that life. We deliberately, on purpose, not waiting for a gift, which we thank you for. But we thank you right now, on purpose, deliberately, we release, according to your word, that virtue. Arthritis, you cannot stay. Pain, you cannot stay. Kidneys, we command you to revitalize, begin to take on the virtue of the Lord. We command in the name of Jesus that healing, restoration happen now to the pancreas, to the liver, to the lungs, to the heart, to every part, to any place that someone is standing inside of their heart. Hele ulamanse tia. Mendekalasete 2022 revival now conference. As I'm meeting you on a place that you've never been before. And I'm bringing you up, as I said this morning, through the ministry of my word to a higher plane. To come into fellowship with me and to know me beyond any place that you've ever known me before. And to know that as a father, it hurts me more to see you in your suffering than it does even for you and your family, where a price has been paid. And I'm bringing you up into a place to change your expectation that old things and things that have been around for months and years and even decades are being changed, says the Spirit of the Lord. Malahole setiete. Melachlonde kereset. Mole eli alohe idiaflo ma esete. Emotional battles, whether they be the biological chemistry or satanic origins or just happenstances of life, and everything I'll come. In everything I'll come. Peace that passes understanding has been your promise. Beyond having the ability to understand. I'm petitioning you. I'm petitioning you as your high priest and Lord of the church. Begin to lay down reasoning and figuring these things out, but rather to give yourself over to worship. Magnify me, that everything comes to a plane and everything is washed. Give this over to me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Let life begin to invigorate you and bring forth that which only I, through the Holy Spirit, can bring forth. Well, glory. Amen. 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 That was wonderful this morning. We appreciate Pastor Jim and just having us here every year for this conference means so much. It really does. It's a good crowd, but the crowds, and there's a good crowd watching. I'm sure there's a good crowd watching. But what's most important is where we're going, because revival is now. And we really are in the Edgewaters of revival. We're in a place where revival has, I believe with all my heart, has already begun. And I know that Pastor Jim is led of the Lord to term these meetings revival now. And so we joined together with him and with you guys. When he was ministering this morning, the Holy Spirit kept saying to me later, when it's done. When it's done. And I knew what he was saying to me, because one of the greatest desires of my heart is right with all of you that are here. You wouldn't be here if you weren't wanting the fullness of revival. And it's my greatest desire, and I'm not putting myself up here apart from you. I'm sure you'd affirm the same, but I would have loved to have begun these first couple of meetings with the problem of the parking lot being so full that there's no way to figure out. You know, revival is an inconvenience at the best. And Pastor Jim's been teaching us all, and I've been listening to things he's been saying, and saying, yes, Lord, teach us, help us to prepare the nativity, the nursery for all of this. And there's so much more that we have to do. And yet, at best, revival becomes a inconvenience. It becomes, or the power of God being demonstrated. I believe it was in Mark's gospel that Jesus was in the house, and wherever he went, he filled the house up. And that particular house, they couldn't get anybody else inside, not even close to the door. So they began to tear off the roof. Now I don't believe there's, well, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be any roof being tore off, but I would love to. I can't wait for the days. Now I'm going someplace with this, talking about my testimony, my desire, and your desire as well. I can't wait for the days, because the days are coming in the fullness of this, that we'll see those kinds of things beyond where we have existed, beyond the parking lot full. I don't know what this street is out here behind me, but just backed up. Now obviously you couldn't get them into this building. But if it was so full as far as spontaneous combustion, it just started as it's going to start, that they begin to bring them in on, you know, we paint these pictures, but none of us have ever seen revival. We've never really seen it. We've heard about it. We've watched documentaries on it of short-term revivals. But we've never seen the long-term revival like we're going to see. So there's a strength in me, and also I would say a weakness in putting visions on something that I have never seen. I believe there is going to be some things that are going to be so powerful that we're going to stand day after day after day in a place of awe where we're like, God, whatever it took to fight for it, it was worth it. And I can tell you this. How can I explain this, Lord, where it's really edifying? There's no amount of appreciation that can tell you how much I appreciate Jim and Kathy and the elders doing what they're doing to bring us together. At the same time, I realize there's something inside of me that's being, that the Lord is sharpening and saying, understand how, and I always have, how necessary it is for us to come to this place and places like Tulsa and Jim to come to Florida. Because I'm wanting, and we're wanting that higher end. We're wanting to see the ambulances come in. We're wanting to see the wheelchairs come into auditoriums. We're going to see that. But I can tell you that the 2022 Revival Now conference is just as necessary as any conference or get together that we'll ever have inside the fullness of revival in days to come. Because without these, those will never exist. Without us coming together in these times and bringing ourselves together for the purpose of going forward, those things will never exist. I heard the Lord say, when it's done. And Pastor Jim was ministering and I was taking notes. But what does that mean, when it's done? When everything is done inside of us and everything is completed, then the fullness of what the Edgewaters, where we're already at, is going to come into fullness. It's going to come in. You're not going to be able to abate it. Satan's not going to be able to abate it. Nothing's going to be able to hold it back. I left the parking lot in a verse that I didn't even, you know, I just started coming up inside of me. And the verse is in Galatians 4:4. You can turn there or I can just read it for you. But when the fullness, listen to this, but when the fullness, the Lord was speaking, when it's done, and I left the parking lot and the Lord began to say, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Did you hear that? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The word fullness, means this in the Greek. It means to be completely or replenished, completion, what's filled, what is filled, or as a container that is totally filled, which is to put in or to fill up. That's fullness, and that's easy to be understood. The next phrase of time, when it says, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, but it said in the fullness of the time, in the fullness of the time, and the word or three words linked together of the time means this, and I'm going to say it really to hone in on one word that I want to use is the season. God is speaking to us that in the fullness of the season, this is going to come about. In the fullness, when the brim comes to a place of overflowing, listen, I began to think about that as I was going home and the Lord was saying things through Pastor Jim this morning in reference to the maturity of the body of Christ. And he made some references that we are in a place of upper level. We've come to a place of maturity. And as he was painting that picture of hope inside of us, of not only why we're here, but where we're going, the Lord began to say, when it's done, this is all going to happen. You're not going to have to try to make it happen. And when I began to look at this verse, the verse basically says, when the fullness of the season came about, Christ came into fruition. Christ was born. It wasn't before. It was only when it was full time. When it was fullness. When Mary was born, it was getting closer. You know, there's 400 something years between Malachi and Jesus coming into the earth. Something like that. But there was a season that it was getting closer. Listen, it's getting closer and closer for us right now. Come on, I'm not getting enough amens. A baby is about to be born. And the baby is called revival. And it doesn't matter where you live, if you're on this walk, you're going to be walking in the fullness of that. Hallelujah. There were things leading up to that season, and it got closer and closer. Joseph had to be born. He didn't have anything physically to do with the body of Jesus. Mary, she was a, God used her body. But when she was born, when she was 5 years old, it was getting closer. When she was 10 years old, when she became a teenager, whatever time, that was a season. But the season was going to bring forth a fullness of time. We're in a season right now where we keep getting together and we keep saying revival is now, and we keep, and our senses keep saying, yeah, but I want to see the gurneys come in. I want to see the ambulances come in. But I'm telling you, the cup is getting, it's getting fuller and fuller and fuller. Mary has been born. The carrying case for this has been born. We're here. We're carrying, we're pregnant with revival. It's going to be born. It's absolutely when the time come. When the time came, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. In other words, when it was time for Him to be birthed, it happened. Hallelujah. He couldn't come until He could come. Sounds pretty redundant. My personal dissatisfaction is like, in a good way, God, I want to go to conference. I want to go to Dayton. I want to go to October. I want us to get, but I'm always like, I want it to be so different. And we do. And I think that's what we should. There's something inside of us that wants that. But I'm telling you, until it can get here, it can't get here. And what does that mean? It means me and you, or you and I, better said, have to go and continue to a place, not that we're not already doing it, but I'm telling you, the fullness of time is coming. We're in the season. We're in that season. That season is here, but the fullness is coming. Hallelujah. If any of you have grandkids, or any of you have children that are little, you know, you've heard this a million times. I'm still enjoying this. I enjoyed it with my two daughters. Now I'm still enjoying it with my grandkids. I got a Candy and I've got a bunch of grandkids, and we pick them up on the weekends, and they stay the weekend with us. And mom and dad get them on back on Saturday, and they all come to church, and then they come over to mom, Nana and Papa's house on Sunday. But there'll be a back seat full of them, and they know how far, you know, they know how far it is from their house to Nan and Papa's house, but they continually, there's always one of them that are saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I just keep saying, almost, almost, are we there yet? And I'm that kid in the back seat, and the Holy Spirit's driving, and I keep saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And he's saying, almost. Almost, but you need to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. Listen, waiting on God is not sitting waiting. Waiting on God is doing everything that we're doing to get to the place where we need to be. We're going someplace. I could be like that little, I could be like some of my grandkids at times where they get, especially on a longer trip. You know, if we go someplace with them where it takes several hours, are we there yet? Well, we're getting closer. But they can get frustrated. We can get frustrated. Don't get frustrated. Stay in the place of prayer. Revival is not here in its fullness. But let me tell you how Jesus talked. Sometimes we're talking off base, or what we say is not off base, or not on base, or proper, properly said. See, that is Jesus. See, that's, listen, isn't that great? Now listen. doesn't that make you feel so good? This is one of the most humble men I've ever seen. He did that deliberately so that the rest of the week, if any of that ever happens to you, you would say, oh, that happened to Pastor Jim. Pastor, we're so thankful for you. You're one of the best guys. That guy is so humble, man. I'm telling you. I just love him. I just love him, man. Jesus talked. It's really good. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just like the jingle. That was really good. Jesus said this. In John 4, he said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And we understand the worship part of that. But I want you to think about this, how that we talk sometimes. We'll say, we're in revival. But revival's coming. Somebody said, well, that's a misnomer. You're not saying that right. No, we're in revival, but the fullness is coming. You've got to get in the season before you can get to the fullness. It said in the fullness of the season, Christ came. It was getting closer when Mary was born. It was getting closer when the Holy Spirit impregnated her. It was getting closer during those 9 months. But there came a day where he came out of the womb. Hallelujah. Some of you need to realize this, and all of us need to, that we're going to places that our elders and people that have gone before us have said to us things like, show me your dust. Pastor Dave. Man, I love that guy. Father to so many of us. But when he said, show me your dust, he meant that. And I believe with all my heart, we're going to come to a place where we're going to do that. Where the places that Dave brought us to in understanding, you remember he used to say this, that before the harvest and before the miracles, there was going to be a revival of doctrine. Now we've seen that. We are seeing that still. But the fullness of time is coming. For the last several years, you've had a bunch of us, some of you women that have a place to speak, or just with your neighbors, teachers. We're just bringing a caucus of us back to a place where we're pulling us out of this spirit of Antichrist that has been waging a war against the church to believe in a doctrine that is so fantastically evil in itself that says Christians can just continue to do, they just walk in the gate, they just step over the threshold, and then they can live any kind of life they want to live. As long as they come on Sunday morning, give an offering, and sing worship songs. Well, it's a lie. But it's amazing, isn't it amazing that we ever had to come back to square one? Now some of you have got friends and family that you're rescuing. Not with a rod that you're beating, but you're with doctrine and soundness of doctrine and truth. And he's laying a foundation. Who knew? Who knew in 2022 we'd ever have to tell the church, oh no, no, if you're a Christian, you can't spend the night with your girlfriend. Who knew? Who knew we'd have to say, no, you can't go out drinking. No, no, it's against the word. It's against the sound doctrine of truth. And Pastor Jim said this morning, he's bringing the church back to an Acts accountability. And before the Acts accountability, there can be no outpouring. Now they say, well, it may, no, no, no. If it has to, I don't believe it will, but if it has to skip this generation and go to another one 100 years from now, now he is going to have an outpouring and Joel's army will be in the earth when he comes back. I've had some devils tell me, Pastor Jim mentioned it this morning. I've had some devils, I've had some people that were used of the devil. They'd write me letters about revival, and revival's not in the Word of God. Well, the Word, it's amazing, those religious spirits. But what's more scarier than that, not those kind of devils, but a mentality among the nominal church that believes they can live any life they want to live and still that God's going to come and visit them and lay his hand on them, much less see any kind of revival. Now, listen, we're not the only ones. It's not just Immokalee and it's not just Tulsa. This, God is raising up a group worldwide. Hallelujah. But Jesus said this, but the hour cometh and now is. Now wait a minute. How can it be coming and now is? Because he was saying this to them in context of this. He was saying the hour is coming where the true worshipers, which will be born of the Spirit, that's going to come about. But it now is in essence, because the one that's bringing it about is standing here and I'm going to bring it about. I am the one that is going to bring about the capability of each believer having the ability to reach in and worship the Father in spirit and truth. But what he's wanting to get across to you is this: the hour is coming and now is the truth of revival. Pastor Jim said this morning that the level of accountability is getting higher than ever before. And that's what I just mentioned just a moment ago concerning the church. The standards, he said, are coming back to a level even comparable or even with the book of Acts. And he said also that God is redefining his church. He's not redefining it from the word here. He's redefining it from the modern mentality. And so we are coming out of a place where the Holy Spirit is teaching us to not only act differently, to think differently and think beyond the possibilities of where we've been before. He mentioned an upper room preparation. Hallelujah. You know, the body of Christ, there is a maturing. One of the reasons why, and this is just another message this afternoon, this evening, concerning the hope of why we're getting together. And, you know, there's miracles going to take place this week. I believe something happened when we prayed a little bit ago. I really believe that. This is mainly not an evangelistic week where there's going to be a lot of the unsaved. I hope if there's any that they come in here and get born again, or someone through the camera gets born again. But it's more continuation of training the body of Christ, bringing us to that place of preparation, and also receiving in this week what is beyond where we've ever been before. And I believe that we're going to do that. But one of the reasons why that the Holy Spirit is taking so long, if we're not there yet, we're not there yet. Oftentimes, every man or husband, I'll yell from the living room, I'll be hungry. Candy will be in there cooking. And I'll say, I'm ready to eat. How much longer? She says, when it's done. When it's done. That's how much longer. I said, my goodness, woman. I'm starving in here. Listen, we're saying, Holy Spirit, come on. He said, I know, but there's been a bunch of you before that's had this same hunger. And they pressed in, and I gave them a choice. You want to go all the way or just take a good time for a season? You could go back to the Hebrides, Azusa, the Layman's Revival, the Korean Revival, 3, 4, 5 years. You can go, it doesn't matter. You can go to wherever you want to go. Pensacola, Tirana. It doesn't matter. They all had a shelf life. They had a shelf life. Ours isn't supposed to have a shelf life. This one's supposed to go all the way. All the way. And the reason why he's taken so long, and the reason why we get together and we're having this and we're saying, is it soup yet? Is it done yet? And he's saying, it'll be done when it's done. I love this. This is a neat portion of scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 7. And this is about Noah. And of course, you know, Noah was commanded and to build the ark, and it took him roughly 100 years to build the ark. And there's so much to be said about that. You can go couple of hours from here and see an incredible replica of it. We've been a couple of times. The last summer we took our grandkids here up there. Came over here and met Jim and Kathy for lunch. But incredible to see that replica of the ark. And you could imagine why it would take. You know, I'm sure the women worked just as hard as the men. So why 8 people, it would take them 100 years. I don't know if they had any, you know, if he subbed out any help or not. But 100 years he's building this ark. And he's preaching, and maybe not preaching so much standing on a pulpit, but preaching with the replica, you know, of what he's building, and everyone that could visit and say, why are you doing that? Now the word says that violence had covered the earth, and everyone had went his way meaning the enemy, Satan. And the whole earth was filled with violence and perversion. And there's so much to be said, and that's not our subject matter, that not even it had so penetrated the lives of everyone that not even any of Noah's family, not his brothers and sisters or nieces or nephews or aunts or uncles, wanted to get on there with him. I heard a message. I hadn't heard Pastor Dave in a while. Somebody sent me a born again message the other day, and he was talking about, and it was so good to hear his voice, but he was talking about the mercy of God and understanding the love of God, and how that if you don't understand the love of God, then it's going to inhibit your being able at times to reach into that place and receive from Him. And people question things like the destruction of the whole earth, things like Joshua being sent in and wiping out everything. I mean, infants lying in the cradle, wipe them all out. Why? He began to exhort on and teach on that all of that was in the love of God for all those millions and millions and millions of unaccountable children that were going to grow up and go to hell one day. God in His loving kindness reached in and touched a world, and even the example concerning Joshua as well. But back to Noah, all those decades and decades and decade after decade, he's building this ark. And he's preaching that a flood is coming. You know, we're preaching from our ark, we're preaching from our pulpits, we're preaching to one another that a revival is coming. We're telling our kids, we're telling our friends, we're telling each other that an outpouring is coming. And here's the thing. I discovered what you already know. As much as we love the thought of the power, there's something that's well out in front of that. It's the intimacy that we share with the one that's going to bring it. It's our love and adoration. That's the thing that is catapulting, or that's the thing that is spurring us into a place of saying, do this for me. It's not that we want the thrills and the chills and watch this one get up and watch that one get. That's secondary. That's beyond the point. The thing is that we love Him. We've fallen head over heels in love with someone that is come to us and given us life. And spending time daily with Him in intimacy, in prayer. He's come to us and asked us and petitioned us, will you? Will you spend the hours? Will you spend the time? Will you give yourself over to praying in tongues and to fasting? To a place to where that I can come through your authority. You know this, that's another message, but He cannot do it through sovereignty. He has to do it through His body. And He does not have a body except yours. But I love this. Verse 11 of chapter 7 in Genesis says this. In the 600, Moses writing this got it real straight. He wrote it real. He wants you to know. In the 600th year of Noah's life, not 599, but in the 600th year, in the second month, he's getting closer. On the 17th day, It was getting closer. Rain and flood was getting closer months before. It was getting closer all the time. And everyone that was balking and everyone that was mocking and everyone that was laughing didn't know that just as sure as God had promised, there would come a day. And when Moses writes this record of the flood, he said, on the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, I like to say on the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened, meaning it began to rain. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if we keep going, if we don't stop, this meeting here is just as important. To me, I'd love to have police escorts taking them to the open field. And that's going to come. It's going to come on the, you could have said, on the 600th year, June, or it's whatever, or February the 17th. It's our revival, our outpouring is going to have a record date. It's going to have a birth date. You ought to get up and run around with me just a little bit. This thing is going to happen. In the fullness of the season, it's going to happen. Rain came and it was recorded. It didn't just evolve. Rain didn't just, it didn't sprinkle one day. And then a few days later, another sprinkle and people begin, you know, it's sprinkling. You know, what is this? We don't know what, we haven't seen this before. This must be what they call rain. When the fullness of time came on the 600, somebody bought me, I preached a message or a series or something. They bought me a shirt and they put on the 600th day, second month. What does it say? 17th day, it began to rain. Listen, it's coming. And it is now. It's coming and now is. Hallelujah. Revival is now. Revival is now. Turn to somebody and say, revival's now. Ephesians, this has become a favorite chapter of mine and verse of scripture, number of scripture verses here. Ephesians 3:14, Paul said this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with dunamis power, with might, by the Holy Ghost or his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith and you would be rooted and grounded in love. That you would be able, now I'm adding that, that you would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God." Hallelujah. And another verse in just a minute. Pastor Dave, in his heydays, in his time of teaching us, everything seemed to progress. We know he was always, the thing that he seemed to be called to the most was to teach the body the value of praying in tongues. We understand that. But then as he continued to go forward, other things, other limbs came on those tree. On that tree, and Pastor Jim mentioned the four pillars today a number of times. One of the things that he came to later in life and began to talk about more than anything else was intimacy and the vehicle that took us into intimacy, which was private worship. And then out of his own experience, he began to discover some things and he began to have more miracles. I don't want to say fantastic miracles, but more present, deliberate, on purpose miracles. Listen, this is a whole nother teaching in and of itself, but the revival that we're headed into is not only a revival of maturity, like we can carry this because we don't have the baggages of sin and doctrine is foremost, but also, it is not a revival of what we understand to be gifts. All of the things that gifts bring, like miracles and healings and discerning and knowledge, those will all be working. But they'll be working in a mature army at will as the Holy Spirit has unleashed us on the earth, because the season has come to fullness. And it's not, and what Pastor Dave would begin to enjoy was a deliberateness of not just waiting on a healing line, but behind the scenes. And we began to see that, and he began to talk to us about a room that he saw. Some of you were here. I was here. It's been, time flies, so it's been a number of years ago. You've heard Pastor talk about it. You've heard Gary talk about it. But we concluded a night service like this. Pastor Dave ministered. The place was pretty full. A lot of healing took place, miracles. And it was a wonderful time. And he went back to Pastor Jim's office. And we were saying, you know, our goodbyes to everyone, and our, you know, just talking about the service. Jim was doing his pastoral work. And so Gary and I slipped back there, and Jim, Pastor Jim, slipped back at about the same time we got in there. And Dave is sitting at Pastor Jim's desk. And, you know, he's in the spirit still. And we're watching him. We're reverent, you know, but we're talking to him, and people are still in the congregation. It's wonderful, wonderful night. And then, he just began to talk to us, and we're listening. And for a moment, we didn't know what he was explaining. He said, you know, I just went somewhere. And we knew that he had just been still in that office. He said, I went somewhere. And we were kind of looking at each other. And I think it was Gary said, you went somewhere? Like, he said, yeah, I just went somewhere for maybe a minute. And I went somewhere and I came back. So we understood he was talking about a place, a vision that he had seen, or a place in his spirit that he'd gone. And he'd always talked about the room called love and a place of impossibility. When I read this scripture here, that we may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God, I have to believe this, that a major part of this revival that we're coming to is for all of us being matured in that place of agape. That place of maturity where we're as sons and daughters, knowing our Father like we've never known Him before. So I'm sitting in the back seat as a son saying, Holy Ghost, is it done yet? Is it cooked yet? And he's saying, almost, but you've got to keep going. Dave said, I went someplace. And Gary said, well, where'd you go? And we all wanted to know. He said, I went someplace in the spirit where I was like, all I can say is it felt like somebody had picked me up and we were driving to, and he'd like to use the example, so the Holy Spirit did this with him. It felt like we were going to a children's hospital or a hospital. I think he just said a hospital. And he said, I knew this, that it was not a thing of faith. It wasn't faith. He said, well, faith is, yes, we'll always be under a place. The just will live by faith. But there's a place where faith goes beyond, to where it just absolutely encompasses the very thing that you're believing for. Kenneth Hagin said that in the last days, it would be, there was a prophecy I heard him say, it would be like breathing air, this revival that's coming. For those that are prepared for it, for those that are walking in it, it's not going to be just broadcast like a bunch of seed, like if you want it, here it is, you didn't know price to be paid for it. There is a price. There is a price. Don't let anybody tell you that it's just, there's no price. There is a price of prayer. There is a price of intimacy. But that's why we're here. And he said, I went someplace in the spirit, and I was, it felt like I wasn't going there to pray. Prayer was not even the essence. It wasn't even like I'd go there and exercise my faith. The thing I hate worst about going to the hospitals is when they don't get healed. Well, that's your pastoral duty. No, no, no. Visiting somebody in their sickness is good. That's good. But I don't want to just go and pray. I don't want to visit you at your house and go and pray just so you'll know I love you. I want to show you that I love you, that I've spent some time in a closet somewhere, paying some kind of price. You say, no, He paid the price. I know He paid the price. But He wants me to come where He's at and transition into His image. To come into this fullness gives me access to the fullness of God, to come into this love. And Dave said, it was just a matter of absolute. All I can tell you is that emotion in the spirit was a place of absolute. I was going there to empty it, not to pray for people. You did it. That's where this revival's going. It's going to a place where you'll still have to speak. But I'm telling you, I believe this, that we'll get together and we'll bring people and they'll just be healed in the worship services. That major, major miracles will be taking place in the worship service. But last verse, Ephesians 3:20 says, Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let me read that again and maybe again and again and again. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's according to the power that worketh in us, but what He's able to do is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now somebody, really, because He's talking about here, leading up to this, being conformed into the image of Christ. And that agape changing us. It's a superficial, I don't want to make fun, but it's really a superficial or somewhat infantile approach in our understanding. And I'm not saying that I haven't preached it so many times to say, oh, yes, wow, we can get excited about, and He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do anything. Yes, He can. But that's really the contextual part of this is this, that where you're at, in that place of fullness, He's able to take you by a place of spending time with Him to be able to do, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Well, I got a big asker and I got a big thinker. I can imagine. Give me the moon. Save everybody in the world. Fantastic request. And you know that's not what it's talking about, because up till now, you or I can't hardly get a sick cat healed. And we're supposed to be riding on big surfing on big things like that. Exceedingly abundant. He's talking about a place inside of you that your asking has been framed by the place of your world, by the place of your agape, by the place you're asking and thinking. It's not talking about the mind kind of thinking where you could ask or think. It's more a place of a relevance of where you've come to, because where you're able, what you're able to ask for and think for that can really come to pass in the place of you knowing Him has been framed up till now, and where you're at or what you believe or somebody that you followed. But He's about to take us out of the box. He's about to break the frame that we live in, so that the asking and the seeking and the knocking has a punch to it. It has a place to it. That it's not a frivolous type asking, seeking, and knocking like I'm going to ask. No, your asking has a place. It's a place of where you can ask and it comes to pass. The thinking up till now we've been too small, all of us, in our thinking about where we're going in this revival. But I can tell you this, surely as I stand here, Pastor Jim will be standing here in Dayton, probably at another place, and welcoming in the hundreds to come in. If we get our way, if he gets his way, if we, the word says this, it says, according to, well, how can we break out of this box? How can our asking, seeking, how can our exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, how can it come to a place of real relevance where it really is not just in imagined big stuff, but stuff that really is spiritual and changes people's lives and strength? How does it work? According to the power that works in us, that worketh. It says that worketh in us. It doesn't even say according to the power that you've come to. Because if it was a place that you'd come to, then you'd always be striving for a place and saying, I can't get there. It's what's at work in you. That word work, I've looked it up. Certainly not where Jim's at in the Greek, but I've looked it up. It goes right down to the word of toil. According to that which is toiling within inside of you. I like to think of it as a washing machine. What's toiling inside of me is taking me to a place of me being able, for Him to be able to transition and come to a place and get me out of my tiny little world. Because I'm in a tiny little world. Up till now, I'm in a tiny box. And I haven't even really had all of the examples set. I could use that as a passing excuse. I haven't rubbed shoulders. Listen, do you know that even in the natural speaking, but it'd be spiritual, that if you hung around, if somebody had already got there, if you hung around a sister or brother that just was like a Smith Wigglesworth and you were hanging around them, that a lot of that was just by gifts, but if you were rubbing shoulders with them in spirit and they were your best buds and you were even doing what they were doing, that'd rub off on you. Why? Because you were seeing it. Dead raisings. That would have an influence on you. Up till now, all we've known is what has been prophesied to us, present day speakings, the Word of God and the witness on the inside of us that's brought a bunch of us together. But He's saying this, according to what's toiling on the inside of us, every hour that we're spending praying in tongues is taking us to a place He's going to break us out of this little world that we live in. He's going to break us out. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Because you guys you're the tip of the spear, as Gary says. We appreciate you so much being here. Would you stand? Do you believe we're going to receive this? I believe it. Hallelujah. Jamie, could you come and let's just worship the Lord. Just Jesus, we worship you. Would you just lift your hands, your heart, whatever. Just magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you. Hallelujah. The day is coming and now is that many of you that are praying, and I love what Pastor Jim said about the ladies moving forward, women and men. How can I say this? That the people that you admired the most for being spiritual, and they were or are, that because you're being changed from glory to glory and you don't even know you're being changed sometimes, you're going to be at a place spiritually where when you admired them the most, when you admired them the most and said, I can never be where she's at or he's at because the gift's flowing. You're going to find that in this revival that is coming and now is, maybe the Holy Spirit will have to tell you, because you'll be dead enough that you're not looking for a place of affirmation. But you're going to go to those places where the person you admired the most, you'll be at wherever you thought their status was. You'll make that and go beyond. Hallelujah.